Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Jeep thrill seekers, listen up. Save $11,000 on select 2025 Jeeps at Rainbow Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Macomb. Conquer trails or streets in style for less. Hurry to Rainbow Chrysler Dodge Jeep in Macomb because these deals won't last. Get yours now.
What's up, everybody? Glad that you are with me on this Monday night, late Monday night, doing this off of my phone. Hopefully this works. I've never done it off of my phone before. And so we'll see if I'm able to do the phone podcast. Welcome into the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are with me as always. It was Ole Miss Day at SEC Media Days here in Atlanta. So let's talk about it together on this edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky in my hotel room because they kicked us out. You'll hear more about that later. But they didn't kick us out of Atlanta. They didn't kick us out of Media Days. But we can no longer do these super late night things at the actual ground. So the radio show looks nice. That's a cool location. Me, I'm just in my hotel room, but that is a-okay. Glad that you guys are with me again on this late on this Monday night. We have had such a hard time with the Eastern time zone, Central time zone, Eastern time zone, Central time zone thing. It cracks me up so bad. Like, your watch obviously doesn't change over. Hey Dad's computer hasn't changed over. And we're trying to book guests based on our Central Time radio show, but in the East Coast time, it's been kind of fun, actually. This is the worst time zone, by the way. There's your random summer take of the day. Of all four time zones in the United States, excluding Alaska and Hawaii, East Coast is by far the worst time zone. Everything happens later, and I think Central's the best. If I had to power rank them, Central, Mountain, Pacific, Eastern. Eastern's by far the worst. I don't really have a better explanation than that right there. But glad you guys are here. Subscribe, leave a like, hit the notification bell, all that good stuff right here on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. So it was Ole Miss Day at SEC Media Days. You'll hear coming up later this week conversations with everybody. Really good stuff. I was impressed by all three players in particular. Austin Simmons, but Caden Lee was great. TJ Dottery was great. But you guys want to start with Lane Kiffin, I'm sure, and what I learned and saw today. Two things can be true at once. When it comes to a football conversation, I learned nothing at all about Ole Miss from Lane Kiffin today. Literally nothing at all. He offered no details. He even joked that he told his players not to offer up any details. Like, don't be boring, but also don't tell them, you know, what we're going to do this year, that kind of stuff. So from a football perspective, I didn't learn anything about Ole Miss from Lane Kiffin today, really at all. And that's kind of how he is. We even had a radio listener text and say, Lane seemed kind of like subdued. Is he still sad about coming up short last year? I think was the crux of his message. And it was like, no, man, that's him. That is Lane Kiffin all the time. People mistake Twitter persona or like the random quips, like when he took a shot at Hugh Freeze today, as like him being like this loud and animated guy. And he is not that, and he's never been that. He is very dry. And so absent, apparently he was good on Feinbaum today. I'm not going to seek that out to find out. I'll just take your word for it if he was. And taking the shot at Hugh Freeze, by and large, he was really dry today. That's what he is. That's what he's always been, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just how he is. But I did think that, and if you haven't seen it, go watch his press conference. The amount of talking he did about the Ole Miss Oxford community centered around his family is interesting. That is definitely something, if you haven't heard that, you need to go seek that out. I could post his whole press conference right here, but I mean, by the time that I do it, you guys will probably have looked for it anyway. Maybe I should. I might go ahead and do that tomorrow. We'll see. But go seek that out, because as you guys know, the Kiffin family has experienced loss lately. Sad deal for Lane Kiffin. And unfortunately, it's just a fact of life, but it doesn't make it any easier. And having facing loss and what comes with that, and also adding more members of his family back to town is an interesting crossroads. I was about to say crossroads. That's not right. But those two things kind of colliding with each other is very fascinating. And hearing Lane Kiffin talk about what the community did for him and to him and his family in the difficult personal stuff that they have dealt with, that the loss of life in their family, that was one of those rare football coach humanization genuine moments. There are times where football coaches talk about, oh, we have the best fans in the world, and this is the best place in the world, this is such a special place. And a lot of colleges and a lot of college campuses and a lot of towns are special places. And I have no doubt Shane Beamer cares about Columbia, South Carolina, and the University of South Carolina, for example. I have no doubt that he does. But by and large, it's all kind of the same, right? That it's where they work, it's where they live. Some people have those emotional connections, like Clark Lee. You know, being an alum, maybe he feels a little bit differently, but that they all like where they work, or for the most part anyway. Not every coach likes where they work, but all these towns are wonderful and nice and a good place to raise families and all that. But and they all say that. And so you have to kind of take everything that coaches say with a grain of salt when they talk about how special their fan is or their fan base is, because they all say that because they have to say that. We have the best fan base in college football. That's what they say. That's what they all say. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Lane Kiffin humanized himself again today. And remember, he did it again last year. And his mood walking around a year ago, because that was right after his father's passing, was different than his mood this year for sure. But the way that he talked about being where he is, going through what he's gone through in his personal life, and also, again, his kids moving there. He referenced his ex-wife moving back, as moving to Oxford as well. That reaction and that discussion that he had about it was genuine. You could tell it was different. It was very real. And I don't know if you would have gotten him to talk like that a few years ago about Ole Miss the way he does now. And that was a rare humanizing moment for a football coach that I would really encourage you guys to go watch and listen to. You don't get that from them very often, but when you listen to it, you think, okay, this isn't just a coach gassing up his fan base. This is a guy that has been through some stuff, and he is actually truly, genuinely appreciative and surprised at what the people around him and his family did in that time. It's a very interesting that was the thing that it was powerful almost, because, you know, these guys are millionaires and they're football coaches and they're judged exclusively based on if they win or lose. And that's it. Right. And they get paid a lot of money to do this job. And would Lane Kiffin live in Oxford if he was not a football coach at Ole Miss? Well, of course not. And that applies to everybody in the SEC, but it's very clear that he is emotionally invested in the job that he has and the place in which he lives differently than he has been in years past. There's no doubt. So I thought that was a really cool and interesting moment. Otherwise, the shots at Hugh Freeze were really funny. He was asked about, you know, why do you tweet at Hugh Freeze? And the first half of his answer was basically, well, I like Hugh. He just, you know, it's been something that we've been doing for a couple years. And, you know, I was just making fun of him because he tweeted a picture of a 2-pound bass and I've got these bigger fish. And then it turned into, well, yeah, you know, I'm here. His golf game is going great for him. And by the way, I went fishing yesterday. It's a dead period. Just so you know, it's a dead period. Oh, man, that's really good stuff. I remember when he used to spend time going after Jimbo. Now, I guess Hugh Freeze, not a guess, Hugh Freeze has been the target of that for a while. And I imagine that Hugh Freeze is going to defend himself. I mean, he did in a different media session today. So if somebody asks Lane Kiffin about why he tweets at Hugh Freeze. Somebody's definitely going to ask Hugh Freeze about the golf and the Kiffin tweets and stuff like that. And I am so fascinated to see the answer, because there's absolutely no way, there's no way that he thinks it's as funny as everybody else does. There's a 0% chance he thinks it's funny like that. So other than that, nothing much from Kiffin. Again, he's, when he wants to be, he's really good at this. He actually had a really funny quip with us. He said, he was asked about the schedule and having those four non-conference games to start the season, and he goes, you know, I thought it was great last year until we lost to Kentucky. So he was funny, as he always is, but very dry and nothing football knowledge related. When it comes to the three players, I continue to, and you'll hear that interview later this week, Austin Simmons is just quite impressive for being a 19-year-old quarterback. And look, I'm not saying he's going to be these guys. That's a ridiculous comparison. But what I'm talking about is what makes quarterbacks great. It's not how hard can you throw. It's not how big your arm is. It's not how fast you can run. Tom Brady and Drew Brees, I mean, look at Drew Brees. I'm taller than Drew Brees. I'm bigger than Drew Brees. He never had the strongest arm. He was never the best athlete. So what separated him? It was all that stuff upstairs. You know, it was everything else. It was process. It was work ethic, mentality, leadership. Those are the things that make Tom Brady great. Those are the things that make Drew Brees great. Those are the things that make Patrick Mahomes great. Now, he's a little bit different because he is this supreme talent throwing the football and all that stuff as well. But without the mental side of it, then he wouldn't be worth a crap either. And that's the second time I've gotten to visit with Austin Simmons, and you can just see and feel that the off-the-field stuff, the process, the mindset, the mental makeup, perspective, leadership, the gravitas, he's got all that. And you know he has the talent as well. So it's just putting those two things together and becoming a quarterback on the actual football field. But one thing I don't believe you have to worry about when it comes to your football team in 2025 is your quarterback's ability to handle the pressure that comes with being a starting quarterback in the SEC, even at his young age. He is very ready for all of this. And it's not an arrogance. It's a confidence. He's impressive. He's just very, very impressive. Caden Lee's impressive as well. He was a really good interview. TJ Dottery was the first time I had a chance to visit with him. It was a shorter visit with him, unfortunately. We ran short on time, but it was really good as well. All three of those are going to be given to you guys this week, and I'm really looking forward to that. Should be visiting with Greg Sankey as well, so I will bring that to you guys here. Have opponent preview and all that stuff coming your way as the weeks go on, all from here. So glad you guys are here. Tell me what you thought about what you saw and heard today from Ole Miss's Day at SEC Media Days, and I'll read your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. That's the website. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You get a free office technology assessment. Podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. And finally, Toyota of Brookhaven. Exit 40 in Brookhaven. Now, that's where they're located. But you can shop with them anywhere. ToyotaBrookhaven.com is their website. They have a great used inventory as well. Tell them I sent you. You get $1,000 off any in-stock new Toyota. Again, you don't have to live in Brookhaven to shop at Toyota Brookhaven. Go to the people that are going to take care of you, because that's what they'll do at Toyota of Brookhaven. Edward, my man, I appreciate you. Let's talk about it here. Why not? And anybody else who wants to jump in the comments, come on in. And let's talk about the day. Hope you're having – oh, wait, hold on. Is that displaying when I touch it? Either way, I guess I don't have to put it on the screen, but I can read it. Hope you're having a fun time. We are. We are still working, though. I mean, it's 10 o'clock Eastern, and I was down there at like 7:45. So Long day, but who cares? Kind of funny, on Ole Miss Football Media Day, the biggest news was baseball with Hunter Elliott announcing his return. No kidding. That's huge. Breaking news, more at 11. Hunter Elliott returning to Ole Miss is huge. But it is. And especially if you can get the guy that you got in the back half of this past season, you've got a bona fide first-team preseason All-SEC ace on the hill. And how much of your weekend series are determined based on who starts for you on Friday night? You know, that there's a reason there's such an emphasis on it. And he, when he's at his best, is elite. And at the back half of the season, he was at its best. I'm a little surprised that he didn't get drafted sooner. It certainly appeared at the end of the season that he was anticipating leaving. But he's back. And I know the draft wasn't perfect for Ole Miss, but the fact that he's returning is a huge, huge deal. Football-wise, was as little as possible. His comments on Freeze were pretty funny, no kidding. Yeah, I will skip that one, but yeah. As for Kiffin, he does a really good job around media in the stand. With the death of his father and his family coming back together, it seems like a much healthier person. Physically looks healthy as well. You're right, though. The reflective nature of his podium time today was noteworthy. And does that mean they're going to win more games? Does that mean they're going to make the playoff? No, but I mean, this is entering year six of Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. I overheard somebody doing a podcast. So it's not Radio Row anymore, because so many podcasts have such a reach now that they call it Digital Drive, which I think they should have workshopped that a little bit better. But anyway, it wasn't up to me. But one of the guys there was talking about, well, one of the big questions is Lane Kiffin there for the long haul? What are you talking about? This is year six. What are you talking about? Is Lane Kiffin there for the long haul? Well, it's year five. Whatever. Right? 2020, 21, 22, 23, 24. This is year six. It's year six for Lane Kiffin. What do you mean is he going to be there for the long haul? The haul has been long already, right? And as we talked about last time, the list of jobs that could slash would come open that are demonstratively better than the one that he currently has, that's a tiny list at this point. Tiny. I mean, he's getting whatever he wants, and they're winning, and they're recruiting well, and the support staff situation is really good. That's not a discussion. I was very taken aback by that. I was like, that's really your discussion topic today? Is Kiffin in it for the long haul? Well, why? Well, who's talking? Like, 3 years ago? Sure. Ask that question. Today? Of all the things that you could talk about with Ole Miss, that's the one that doesn't make sense. Really doesn't make sense. The Saban could return to coaching stuff dominated social media today. I don't know about that. He got out when he needed to. Yeah, it sounds like that's just kind of a BS story, to be honest. Possibly even somebody getting taken out of context to some degree. And, of course, Lane fanned the flames on that as well. I don't see it. I really don't. I'm sure it was a fun thing for a lot of people to talk about. But what job? What job and what is different about the current state of college football today than when he retired? Like, what has changed? Nothing has changed at all. The House settlement didn't slow anything down, as I told you guys. It was never going to hold up. I can't believe it happened within 2 weeks, but it was never going to hold up. Collectives were always going to continue to exist, and yet So nothing has changed at all. It's still exactly what it was when he retired. He's not coming back. Lane's been around for a while, but there are some important lessons to be learned from last year. They did not handle pressure well at all, especially in tight games. No, they did not. No, they turned the keys over to Dart last year, so I'm hoping Kiffin play calls come back out of that. May have been the difference last year with the running back issue and offensive line play as well. He talked about that today some, where you don't recruit players to your offense. You recruit the best players you can and then build your offense to what they do best. And I keep going back to this. I can't help but wonder if the personnel change, if losing Dart and losing Trey Harris helps them, and Jordan Watkins as well, helps them like reset and self-scout. They need to. There's no doubt they need to. So I kind of expect that to happen. Hearing him say that today in particular kind of struck me a little bit, because I thought that he was referencing quarterback. Like, you know, you cater your offense to the strengths of the people that are running it. Well, who's running your offense this year? It's Austin Simmons. So if you're catering your offense to who's running it, that means you are making changes within your offense to fit the guy that's running it. That's what I took away from that. Maybe I'm reading too far into it, though. A lot of these coaches are up there filibustering. Shane Beamer's always one to count on there. Brent Venables went like 30 minutes last year, fitting right into that talking season. Yeah, Brian Kelly went pretty long today. And here's another one. Brian Kelly's comments today on their focus on the Clemson game was pretty funny, and it'll be funny again when they lose. Maybe he'll kick something like Shane Beamer. Yeah, Brian Kelly is – his team better be good. I mean, he was awfully confident in them, which I understand, right, that they're very talented, this LSU team is. But, I mean, he went so far to say that losing in the season opener is completely unacceptable. You know, this is the best roster I've ever had. Like, he said all of those things. He said everything that LSU fans want to hear. But what happens if you come up short? And what happens if you have two losses before October? Because right now the odds makers say that you will. He was very, no, we're going to be good. No, we've got a good roster. No, the offensive line is great. No, the defense is really talented. I mean, he was very, no, we've got Clemson Tiger paws all over the facility. We it's unacceptable that we don't lose season openers. And he is setting himself up because these are the expectations that he is putting out there now. He's the one talking about Clemson. Now, he is the one that's talking about all of these things. And you better deliver. People with actual ball knowledge who watched how Kiffin responded after the Auburn fiasco with 11-2 season showed that he's here to stay for a while. That was a hell of a response season. Needs to have another one of those as well. So of the other three teams who went today, LSU, South Carolina, and Vandy, what are your overarching thoughts on each, mainly the first two? I really like Shane Beamer a lot. He seems like he has got the right perspective on what's important and fans and relationships and stuff like that. He, in my opinion, spends too much time worrying about stuff that he cannot control. He made reference to some national media guy 2 years ago said this, and I'm still like I'm very impressed by him. He seems like a really good dude, but I think that he spends too much time on stuff like that, and as a result, you have a program that doesn't respond well to adversity, because I don't think their coach responds well to adversity. Lenore Sellers is really impressive. Gosh, he's huge. And he's really confident as well. He's physically very impressive, but I thought he was a smart and capable guy. Brian Kelly, we just talked about him. But I really like Diego Pavia a lot. I think characters like him are so good for college football in so many ways. I mean, look, he said that he came back to Vanderbilt to win a national championship, and nobody thinks that they're going to do that. I don't think Diego Pavia even thinks that they're going to do that, but he just oozes confidence, and there's some swagger to him. There's some smartass to him, and characters like that are really good for college football. my business too often does the players never say anything. And then when a player says something, how could he do that? That drives me nuts. Diego Pavia is a great quote. And I think he's my favorite college football player that's currently playing college football. I think he might be my favorite one. But Clark Lee is trying to change the messaging around Vanderbilt football, because, you know, while you're building something like that, you know, nobody's going to respect you. People still don't respect Vanderbilt after what they did a year ago. And I don't think that's right. I mean, my guy Haydad's just, nah, Vanderbilt's not good. Whatever. They'll beat Vanderbilt. Just dismissive of them. And that's a product of decades of being awful. But slowly, guys like Diego Pavia can help. But Clark Lee's messaging is really on point. And he's really direct, and he's really focused, and clearly very smart. I think he's got kind of an impossible job. But basically, everything that I heard today kind of affirms what I think about their programs and the current state of them. There weren't really any fireworks or anything revealing today. It was pretty standard for a day at SEC Media Days. Kiffin was pretty dry, took a shot at Hugh Freeze. Brian Kelly was typical Brian Kelly. Shane Beamer came off really well, but I'm concerned about things like kicking the trash cans. And I mean, still remembering what a national media member said that wasn't really that bad not too terribly long ago, and letting Brett Bielema let him lose control. It was a very standard day. Nothing really changed or was revealing today. You're going to have somebody that's going to do a post-SEC Media Days coach power rankings and stuff like that. And there's nothing that you learn here that changes or that should change that, even though some people will let that happen to them. As weird as it may sound, I think the main reasons he's staying in Oxford are non-football related. He said as much. I mean, it's a different deal. And you know, it's amazing what can happen to somebody when life changes happen. I mean, it's like that with my son, my perspective on things. And, you know, people in golf media make jokes about that, because every time a player has a baby, it's like, oh, well, he's got that new dad perspective. And like, they always do stories about how his perspective has changed on life as he has a kid. But it's real. I mean, that's such a real thing. And having a situation in which you are living across the country away from your children, right? And then COVID happens and you're alone and you can't do anything with them, and you're coaching in an empty town and a 25% full stadium, and you're not allowed to do anything or go anywhere, and all of your, even your team meetings, everybody's separate, and you just, it's very easy to just kind of lose yourself a little bit. And to see how the addition of his kids moving there, and he talks about it publicly. I would not talk about this if he did not talk about it, because I think family should be off limits. But when he is so open about it, then I think it's fair, because it's very clear that this is a healthier version of him. Crazy that LSU hasn't won a season opener since 2019, and it'll be even longer. Top five preseason SEC quarterbacks. Oh gosh, I've got to fill that ballot out too on Wednesday, I guess. I guess Nuss will be my number one. Hey, that'll hate this. I would have Pavia at two. Sellers at three, Lagway at four. And you might be thinking, where's Austin Simmons? Where's Arch Manning? I value what we know over what we think we know. So Arch Manning is not going to be on my ballot for first or second team All-SEC. He will not be on my ballot. Austin Simmons will not be on my ballot because we haven't seen enough. Gunnar Stockton will not be on my ballot. Whoever wins the job at Alabama, even though we all know who it's going to be, will not be on my ballot. When I do these preseason things, I do it based on what we know for sure, over what we think the potential is. And even still, you're going to have Arch Manning. I think he might be first or second team. Vandy will make a bowl game again? I tend to think so. They get an easy win with Auburn, so. They do have the second hardest schedule, according to the media today. It's the SEC. They're all difficult. Can't say, but the audio on the video feed was mono during interviews. I'll come back for the recap. Yeah, and it'll be like that, unfortunately, for the interviews I post for you guys. The audio is going to be a little bit weird. It's just how it is, unfortunately. It's still good. It's just like it might come out of one side of your headphones. I'll fix that for you podcast listeners, but for the video, sorry, this is how it is. Hard to follow up last year's media days. That was probably the biggest one ever with everything around it. That and then when we found out that Texas was joining the SEC. That one was hilarious. Did I get Haydad to eat any of the jerky? No. I didn't ride with him. And I threw it out before then. I threw it out. I should have. I really should have. Think you'd have Ole Miss fifth in the preseason poll if you did one. Was fun to go last year. I appreciate David Kelm. Yeah, DK's the best. Do I have a playoff prediction? Yeah, Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, and Oregon. It'll be one of those. I do think that this is Oregon's year to finally win a national championship. I do think that this is their year. I have to do a predicted order of finish as well. We'll do an entire episode centered around that as well. Here's my ballot. Here's why I voted and who I voted for and all that stuff. I'll do that this week for you guys as well. So anyway, that's it for me, guys. It's late over here on the East Coast and I have an early morning as well. So I appreciate you being here. Caden Lee, Austin Simmons, TJ Daugherty, all already in the hopper, uploaded, scheduled for you. And a whole lot more coming your way from Media Days. And, of course, the radio show. Tune into the radio show, guys. Sports Talk Mississippi, this statewide radio show that we do. So I hope you tune in there as well. But appreciate you guys. Enjoy the interviews and all that stuff I've got coming your way. Will not be live on Thursday because that's a travel day, but there will be a video for you. It will not be live. So we'll go live again on Sunday, but you will have a video every day before Sunday. So anyway, I'll see you guys. See you guys tomorrow for Caden Lee is who I uploaded first for you. So enjoy Caden Lee tomorrow, and I'll see you guys live on Sunday. You'll have a good night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.